The person who grows seeds of kindness enjoys a perpetual living harvest. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. The person who sows seeds of kindness enjoys a living, perpetual harvest. Seeds of kindness are the gentleness of our heart. Are we gentle beings? Are we gentle-hearted beings who love ourselves and love one another? The first place we sow seeds of kindness is within ourselves. Are we kind to ourselves? Do we say, I like me? Do we say, I live in a happy world? Do we say, I'm surrounded by beautiful people? Do we say that everyone in my world is a living example of the kindness of my heart? These are seeds that we're planting. And if we're going to plant these kind of seeds, then we're going to get that kind of harvest. And if we're not going to plant those kind of seeds, then naturally we won't get that kind of harvest. The harvest of any crop, anywhere, anytime, is dependent upon what sort of seeds we use. Now, we can go to the hardware store and we can buy seeds that are perfectly adequate. We can talk to the geneticist, and we can talk to him about the seeds that they are working with, the hybrid seeds that are available on the market from the hybrid dealers. And we look at the billions and zillions and trillions and quintillions of seeds that are cast upon the fields, making the corn crop in the Midwest, where it covers hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of square miles of land to produce the corn, and other areas to produce cotton, other areas to produce soybeans and many other products that we use in our everyday fare. Now, the seeds that farmer gets from the store or from the seed growers, seed sales companies, are seeds that he can depend upon. Now, he is not interested in having any weed seed in his very pure hybrid corn seeds that he plants, because weed seeds blow in by themselves from neighboring fields and from the world around, and those seeds naturally limit the crop. So the farmer makes very certain where he orders those seeds. He makes sure it's from the finest company. He doesn't get the cut rate company, because with the cut rate company, he gets something that is not satisfactory to him, and it is destructive to him and upsets everything that he does. This is very important for everyone. It's very important, especially for us, as we are working on our project of our life. Where are we ordering our seeds from? Are we ordering from the kindness in our heart? Or are we ordering from, say, some unkind source, like the devil, you know? Now, what kind of seeds do you think the devil might sell? He might sell the seeds of dissension, the seeds of unhappiness, the seeds that would bring about the type of relationships that are not really harmonious. And well, who would ever buy seeds from the devil? Well, every time we judge another person, we're buying seeds from the devil. Every time we judge ourselves, we're buying seeds from the devil. Every time we buy seeds or we receive information that is gossip, we're dealing with the devil. Now you say, well, my goodness, I never call that the devil. Those are just, you know, ordinary things that we talk about every day, what the neighbors are doing and what's going on in the world. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We are all great appreciators of the devil, because, you see, we read the newspapers and we believe what it says. The newspaper says that there is war, and we believe there is war. We wouldn't know there was war if it weren't for the media, the television, radio, newspapers. But the worst is, the word of mouth. It has to start someplace. The word of mouth is where war starts. The word of mouth is where anything good or evil starts. And you can be sure, it's the devil's playground wherever war is. Because why should we feel we're superior to somebody else and that we should tell someone else how to run their country? When I was a little boy, and my mother or father saw that there was some child in the neighborhood or some person in the neighborhood that was doing naughty things, my mother and father would say to us, "Now, I don't want you playing with that youngster. They have different rules in the game they're playing. And they think that it's okay to hurt people. They think it's okay to steal. They think it's okay to go around telling tales. And we don't do that. We don't do that. I do not want you to associate with anyone who does those things." Now, if our mother were to find us playing with the boy or the girl who was a naughty boy or naughty girl, after they told us not to do it, they would surely reprimand us very strongly. We would have our own personal war. And they would say, "We don't do that. This family keeps its nose out of other people's business. And we don't associate with other people." Because those children, if they will go and tell stories and tell them when they're not true, when they're sitting in the play box, in the sandbox with you, they're going to be talking about the same things. They're going to be saying things that are not true and that are not good and are not harmonious and beneficial. And that becomes just sort of not common sense, common knowledge, and you accept it as the fact. Well, this is what we have learned to do over the years. We have learned to accept the newspapers and magazines and the television and the media of all kind, that this is gospel truth. That if you hear it, Will Rogers once said comically, "The only news I know is good news, and my only source of information is the newspaper." Of course, he was a newspaper columnist, and that was his source. But I would not like to say that that's true for us. We're going to plant the seeds that we want to plant in our garden, and we must go to the proper seed house to buy them. And the seed house we want to go to is not the seed house of gossip, the seed house of negative thinking, the seed house of limited ideas. It's the seed house of unlimited. We want the corn crop to be overwhelmingly great, overwhelmingly beautiful and fantastic. We want our crop to just exceed any expectation we ever had before. And the only way to do that is to have the pure crop. Now, if in that crop are lots of weeds, and we spend all our time weeding, all of our time cultivating, all of our time cleaning it up, and then when we get done, we have to separate the wheat from the chaff, as the saying goes. And the farmers winnowed the wheat from the chaff, and they would put it in a blanket, and they'd throw the blanket in the air, and the wind would come away and blow the white light chaff away, and just the seeds would remain. And now that's a very primitive way of doing it, but it worked. And not totally perfect, because the weed seeds remained too, and the chaff of the weed seeds had blown away too. But we want to be so careful. Now, how these perfect seed growers do their job is something we might learn. But from the very outset, they say, our seeds are weed-free. Our seed is weed-free. The seeds that we grow are grown so perfectly, and they are checked so perfectly. I don't know how they check it, but we have to learn the things, how they check things like that. So we check in the simple way in our life. Our heart is a garden. And what seeds are we planting in that garden? Are we planting the seeds of happiness, of harmony, of peace? Well, you know, if we would only plant seeds of happiness, or only plant seeds of harmony goodness, kindness, what would happen? We would only know happiness, goodness, and kindness. I would rather think that this is very important for us to be involved in, and this is the type of thing that we want to do. So I would suggest that each one of us this day, determine we're going to buy our seeds from the perfect seed house, and we're going to plant those seeds and bring seeds only of happiness, only of kindness, only of goodness. And this is where we're going, and this is how our life is now and forevermore. Now you have a lovely day, and know that all is in divine order, and I love you, I love you,
I love you.